Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At the rate we're going here, South Carolina functioning essentially as a sanctuary state. Great option for illegal immigrants fleeing from Florida, where it's now almost impossible to drive. They pull you over. Well, they're deputized as federal immigration agents, so they can just deport you. Our highway patrol, our police can't, which is why we're going to see a lot more stories like this. You're going to have illegal immigrants moving from Florida up here. They can't operate in Florida anymore because our leadership refuses to deputize our state law enforcement, like Florida did a long time ago. Back in January, by the way, Trump called on the country's Republican governors to do just that, and only one took him up on it, sadly. So the rest of them, I guess, well, no, they like being de facto sanctuary states because that's what you are now. That's how you end up with situations like this. And folks, again, you're going to see this. You're going to see me talking more about illegal immigrants because more of them are going to move here. It's already happening, guarantee you. They're fleeing Florida. Pedro Mondragon Ramirez, 41-year-old illegal immigrant, accused of stabbing a woman and her unborn baby to death during an argument. Stabbing took place in Rock Hill, South Carolina, on Friday night during an argument. 37-year-old Leonor Alpizar and her unborn child were found inside a home, transported to the hospital where they were pronounced dead, the baby and the mother. He fled in the victim's car, stole it from her before being apprehended and arrested early Saturday morning by the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police following a chase. So he's being held in Mecklenburg County Jail right now as a fugitive from South Carolina. We're extraditing him. So, you know, now we're going to have to go through the expense of trying. All while Henry McMaster pretends that over 500 of you haven't called or emailed him, and he doesn't know anything about Trump's request. Isn't that crazy? We have 25 Republican governors in this country, and not one of them, except Ron DeSantis, has taken Trump up. Can you imagine on his offer to deputize everybody as federal agents, so they then have the jurisdiction to repel illegals? Otherwise, you catch one of them in traffic driving, you gotta let him go. Give him a ticket, but you let him go. Kind of shows you who the Republican Party is, really. How Trump's the only one fighting. Maybe that's why he's sitting at 55% approval, as people realize Republicans are a joke. What a pain in the neck. All right. Meanwhile, another one bites the dust after Vermont slammed the brakes on EV mandates. Sales lagged. All over the country, the EV craze is fading. Now that Democrats aren't there to force you to buy Chinese-made EVs made in Mexico and are no longer going to be able to decimate the American auto industry with their EV mandates because they're not around anymore, well, some things are changing.
Now to this, another EV setback. Ford reversing its electric vehicle ambitions and allowing Nissan to use its Kentucky-based battery plant as EV demand slows.
Meanwhile, Toyota is betting on hybrids as the car of the future. Shara Cassoni from our sister network Fox Business is here with more. And this is interesting because Ford and Nissan are competitors, and right now they're people helping people.
Well, Ford and Nissan have the same issues facing them right now. They've got the tariff issues. All the automakers have that issue. And then also this lack of demand for all electric vehicles. Hybrids are a different story. I'll get to that in a second. But when it comes to electric vehicles and the batteries, one thing that this does is it helps Nissan because the batteries are going to be made in the U.S. That gives them a little bit of a break with their tariff problem. Okay, that's one thing. But also Ford has been, I mean, Ford pulled their guidance for 2025. No financial guidance. A lot of companies have been doing this recently, which has been troubling for, obviously, for Wall Street, for investors. Ford lost $5 billion, and it's just in its EV unit in 2024. It's probably going to lose about another $5 billion this year, 2025. And also, too, remember Congress, I saw y'all doing, you know, the whole overnight congressional debate. They're looking to reverse all those tax credits for electric vehicles. So all of this is really hitting the industry. So let's look at this, because if you look at the EV business and losses, the Toyota RAV4 is actually a really popular hybrid. It's the most popular SUV, actually, in the United States. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to actually just do hybrid vehicles from now on. That RAV4 is going to be just a hybrid. They're taking out the gasoline option. As far as the popularity of hybrids in the U.S., 1.9 million were sold, 1.3 million if you look at vehicles sold during 2024. So you see kind of the theme here, right? All EVs, not so popular.
Yeah.
Hybrids, very popular.
Because it gives people a choice, and that is what Americans want.
Correct, correct.
That's literally how we founded our nation.
Yeah.
So it works when it comes to cars as well.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I mean, Honda's cutting electric vehicle spending. GM has pulled back on all these plants in Michigan. It's, you know, these investments that were made 2021, 22 are getting pulled back.
There are people
that does impact
who,
some
new
American
and
communities.
Yeah, that's right.
In states like
so EVs on their way out, maybe partially. See, people seem to like hybrids. But the demand for these, I think, was never real. And I think there was a lot of fear on the part of auto manufacturers. Wow, if Democrats continue to win, we're going to be forced to make this junk. And they were preparing for it. So I don't know. Very interesting, though, that is happening. I think that's part of the reason that you're seeing Elon Musk kind of walk away, focus more on his businesses, because he's caught up in a lot of this too. By the way, Elon Musk saying $200 million in the last election, he's not spending that kind of money anymore. I don't blame him.
I wondered whether you have decided yet how much you're going to spend on the upcoming midterms. Is it you spent a lot more money on the last US election than you envisaged when you were speaking here 3 years ago. Are you going to continue to spend at that kind of level on future elections?
In terms of political spending, I'm going to do a lot less in the future.
And why is that?
I think I've done enough.
Is it because of blowback?
If I see a reason to do political spending in the future, I will do it. I don't currently see a reason.
So there you go. We'll be right back.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, even CNN cannot understand how Joe Biden ended up with stage four cancer. Even they were shocked. Take a listen.
A Biden spokesperson tells me that former President Joe Biden, his last known PSA, which is a screening that could be used for prostate cancer, was conducted in 2014, and that he was never diagnosed with cancer before the Friday diagnosis that was handed from his doctors. Now, to give you a bit of a background, the PSA test checks the blood for levels of a protein called prostate-specific antigen that might indicate the presence of prostate cancer. Many medical associations say that whether to have this test is something that's usually determined between a patient and their doctor, and independent experts who have reviewed some screening studies for the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommend against screening for prostate cancer for men 70 and older. So in 2014, Biden would have been in that 71, 72 age range. Now, this new disclosure from Biden's spokesperson comes as President Donald Trump and some of his allies have questioned why Biden's cancer diagnosis was not revealed earlier. On Friday, Biden received that diagnosis of prostate cancer, which has spread to his bones. His office disclosed that on Sunday, and now they are providing a bit more background into what some of his previous screening has been like, saying that that last PSA, the last known PSA, was in 2014 when he was vice president.
And yes, there are these medical guidelines recommending against testing age 70 and up, but he was president of the United States. I find it very surprising.
Yeah, it's surprising, given how treatable this is. His last PSAs in 2014? Huh? That doesn't even make sense. Like, every man in my life, knowing I talk about this, is coming up to me going, yeah, oh, wow. And Lee gets one every 6 months. My husband gets one every year. They all get tested. That doesn't make any sense. Here's the second thing that doesn't make any sense. There's no way you get to stage four and you don't know something's wrong. There's no way. And even if you just didn't want to have the PSA, opted out of it, I don't know, you and your doctor, I don't get it. I mean, they're saying, look, yeah, two of the agencies that make recommendations about these tests say, you know, have them through the age of 69 or have them through the age of 70. He was around that age in 2014. So I guess maybe you don't have them anymore after that. But the American Cancer Society recommends continuing to have them every year as long as you live. So even assuming all of that, that somehow, unlike most men, Biden doesn't continue getting these tests. Surely he had blood tests. I'm not talking about PSA tests or prostate tests. I'm talking about blood tests. Surely he had blood tests. Nobody noticed anything? I mean, you've got Ezekiel Emanuel, the architect of Obamacare. He's on MSNBC. And even he's saying, oh, no, he had it at least since 2021. That would show up in a blood test. You wouldn't know exactly what the problem was. You know, the standard blood test you get every year, you go to the doctor for your physical. You wouldn't know what the problem was. But you know something was wrong. The doctor would say, hey, we need some more tests. Let's figure this out. Something's up. I mean, just bare minimum, they measure your white blood cell count. That something would be it. You would see it. How did this happen? None of it makes any sense. Even Trump is saying it doesn't make any sense.
And it takes a long time to get to that, you know, to get to a stage nine. I think that if you take a look, it's the same doctor that said that Joe was cognitively fine. There was nothing wrong with him. And that's being proven to be a sad situation. You know, the auto pen is becoming a big deal because it seems like that maybe was the president who ever operated the auto pen. In other words, there are things going on that the public wasn't informed, and I think somebody's going to have to speak to his doctor, if it's the same, or even if it's two separate doctors. Why wasn't the cognitive ability, why wasn't that discussed? And I think the doctor said he's just fine. And
yeah, sum up with these doctors. No, he's fine. Cognitively, he's great. And just ignore all those videos on X. Yeah, you didn't really see those. They're cheap fakes anyway. Oh, yeah, the cancer, what cancer? I can't see anything wrong with the blood test. Everything's great. Folks, somebody's lying here. No, I mean, this is supposed to be the great come to Jesus, right? Where we all figured this out and, oh, wow, the media maybe missed it. And yeah, we're coming clean. They're still lying. Because this doesn't make sense. Somebody is lying here. The doctors lied to Joe. Somebody is not telling the truth. Here's the thing with Joe. You know what's starting to wear on my nerves? Because we're going way too far for this, okay, with this, okay? Joe Biden, yes, had moments of very clear dementia. I've played many of them for you over the years. It was a problem. He shouldn't have been serving as president. But he had many more moments of clarity, real clarity. He had entire press conferences of clarity. And we're all walking around going, well, you know, the poor thing, he just didn't know. He knew it all. By the way, now Donald Trump is saying, demanding to know, hey, Joe Biden didn't open the border. That's what he tweeted. No, Joe didn't open the border. Somebody else did. It's treason. We need to figure out who it was. No, Joe opened the border. Joe did that. We are, and I know why Trump's saying that, okay? I know exactly why. He's going to start to use this argument in court that Joe Biden's, you know, executive orders are null and void. I get what he's doing. It's actually a smart strategy. So I mean, I don't disagree with it, but it's not true. Anyway, Trump wrote a big thing yesterday on Truth Social about that. That, you know, somebody took advantage of Joe. Joe never meant to open the border. Yes, he did. He absolutely meant to open the border. In fact, for a demented person, Joe Biden had a remarkably successful, very successful presidency. Shockingly so. Here he is in Mexico in 2023, taking credit for his open border. He knew what he was doing. He wasn't confused. He's very clear here.
This has been the greatest migration in human history around the world, as well as in this hemisphere. And when I got elected, the first major piece of legislation I introduced.
So there was that. Here's Joe Biden in the beginning, inviting illegals to come here and surge to the border.
I would, in fact, make sure we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
Unless you're a white South African facing genocide, in which case, please stay because you'll probably vote Democrat. I mean, you'll probably vote Republican. We can't have that. This was all absolutely deliberate on Biden's part. No doubt about it. In fact, it's amazing he was able to accomplish so much evil, given his limitations. We now know he had cancer for a lot of it. Pretty serious cancer, too, he would have had to have. So, I don't know. Gonna jump on over to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, "We've been calling it dementia in Joe all this time, but he may have cancer. Meds to his brain, very common in prostate cancer." I don't know what that means. Texter writes, health records are considered protected health information under HIPAA, which means they must be kept confidential and secure. This includes any information related to an individual's health status, treatment, or payment for healthcare services. Another texter writes, "I get blood work every 6 months and I get at least 6 pages of results. Biden was already getting blood work, so they're lying about the PSA test." Another texter writes, "Tara, the real question is who ran this country?" Folks, that's what they're running it. They're still running interference right now. They're still running interference for him. Not for Biden, but for the him that's running this country, for the shadow government, for whoever was operating the auto pen, for all of it. That's who they're covering for. That hasn't changed. Texter writes, "Not to mention he would have had some significant urinary symptoms that would have prompted him to go to the doctor. That's usually how it happens unless it's found on blood work." None of this makes sense, folks. They're gaslighting us again. Texter writes, "Hey, Tara, I sort of feel like Elon Musk's telling the political class to go F themselves. He tried his best to save the country, but the political class seems very disinterested in doing their part." No, they don't care. It's all about right now. Texter writes, "Tara, Henry won't allow our police, I would mean highway patrol, but our police to be federalized as ICE agents. The contractors and the builders won't allow it." And finally, Texter writes, "Very disappointed in President Trump regarding this reconciliation bill."
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space: Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.